And you tuned to KC Radio on this Sunday afternoon. Very cold, wet and windy out there, and I'm sure it won't be any different down there at the Frankston Oval. Time to cross down to the Frankston Oval facility and talk to the boys for the round three clash between the Frankston Dolphins and the KC Scorpions. And it's a very good afternoon to our commentary team.
Yeah, thank you to John Zarr back in the studio there. It is a very wet and wintry day here at Frankston. The wind really whipping off the bay with a storm in progress this afternoon. KC Radio Round 3 VFL coverage takes us to Frankston Park today for the local rivalry between the Frankston Dolphins and the KC Scorpions. Both these teams have gone winless so far in season 2009. So apart from the local rights, the chance to keep finals hopes alive early in the season is at stake this afternoon. Good afternoon, my name's Chris Weaver, joined in commentary this afternoon by Kane Pollard and by Darren Parkin on special comments. Fabulous Phil Pearce, he'll be going around trying to get the interviews for us this afternoon as well, so we can look forward to both Peter German, the coach of the KC Scorpions, and Shannon Grant of Frankston during the first hour of the program, and also Jack Richter. We'll get an update from him. The Sandringham game versus North Ballarat. Three-quarter time in the reserves. There's a bit of to-do at centre-half forward here. Players coming in for a bit of push and shove. Cool. But I can tell you at three-quarter time in that game, it is the visitors, the KC Scorpions, who have benefited so far from two quarters playing into that very strong breeze. They are 8-11-59 to Frankston 3-5-23. So, conditions very good underfoot, but unfortunately, Kane Pollard, as I welcome you this afternoon, got a bit of a storm underway.
Yes, it's... How do you describe the conditions down here? I guess wherever you are woken up this afternoon, just expect it to be worse by the bay, because we've got whitecaps galore out there on Port Phillip and grey overhead skies. But just having a look out there now, just going past 1 o'clock, it is starting to break up just a little bit, Chris, so we might be able to get some blue sky over the ground for maybe the second half of play. I know Jim predicted more thunderstorms later, but a little bit of blue gives us some hope.
Yeah, mixed fortunes perhaps for us this afternoon. We'll get a good game of footy if the conditions improve, but unfortunately, Phil Pearson is anorak. We won't get to see his flying nun impressions. He tries to hang on to the columns of the grandstand to save himself from being blown over the top of Frankston, Kane.
An extra pressure for us today, because I think everyone who comes to today's game will be sitting in the social club. You'd be pretty game to be out there on the in the grandstand, the one located across from us towards Church Side of Carr Street. And you've also got the one near us. You'd be very game. I think it'd be about, what, 4 or 5 degrees in this in the wind at the moment, so very tough conditions for everybody concerned.
Yeah, predicted top today of only about 14 degrees, and it's well off that at the moment, probably around the 10 or 11 mark at the moment. That wind really still howling up, coming from the west across the bay and blowing towards the eastern end of this ground, so a 4 or 5 goal breeze, probably closer to 7 or 8 goal breeze at the moment, favouring that end. Darren Parkin, good afternoon to you for the first time this afternoon. We're looking forward to a tight game of footy.
Yeah, I think so. Good afternoon, Chris and Kane and everybody out there. I think, yeah, the conditions are conducive of that. The two sides who are hooping around the mark. I mean, Casey poor in round one, but a lot better in round two, and Frankston competitive in both of their matches, just probably 20 or 30 minute lapses, one in the first quarter in round one, and then a poor finish last week in round two, probably costing them both of those games. But yeah, I think even if this blue sky peaks through, the wind's not going to die down too much. It's still going to be a factor throughout the course of the day. Makes skills very, very difficult. Whoever gets first use of it, if there was to be some rain in the afternoon, whoever got first use of the breeze could be holding the advantage there. It's good to get off to a good start, and it's better to be sort of protecting a 4-goal lead and trying to reel one in the second quarter. So, well, yeah, interesting to see how it goes.
Well, Darren's day's been made a little bit harder by some interesting developments that happened to the KC Radio broadcast team just before we went on air. Jack Richter.
Yes.
The boy from Sandringham.
The boy from Beaumaris.
Yeah, the boy from Beaumaris. He decided to make his way to Sandringham this afternoon, so I don't know if he's double handling it and gone to join the other mob doing that game out there this afternoon, or he's just got his wires crossed. So he'll be doing his preview at about 1:30.
Yeah.
And then probably at half time and after the game, we'll have a quick chat to Jack. So, Darren, you're in the special comments chairs by yourself as Tiger Pierce just walks in front of us here. A bit like Dickie Knee, his head just seems to pop up into the social club. You don't see the rest of his body there, and he gives us a bit of a head wobble as he goes past.
Sadly, we don't want to have one of those comedy hammers with the foam head he didn't back down with. But Phil Pierce doing a good job. He'll try and get the interviews for us before the game this afternoon. Yet we mentioned this game, and also, of course, that game between Sandringham and North Ballarat. They are but two of four games this afternoon, as Phil Pierce delivers the size to us this afternoon. Two of but four games this afternoon. There is an ABC TV game under progress at the moment between Williamstown and Werribee. That game taking place at the Burbank Oval in no doubt similar conditions to what we're facing here. And Bendigo Bombers, they take on Collingwood at the Queen Elizabeth Oval at 2 p.m. So a Bendigo home game. Looking forward to that one as we try and get some score updates for you during this afternoon. Two games took place yesterday in the first part of round three of the VFL season. And at the Box Hill City Oval, it was the home side, the Box Hill Hawks, by 19 points in their annual Anzac Day clash against the Coburg Tigers. 14-13-97, they defeated Coburg, 12-6-78. I believe the first time that Box Hill have won that fixture since it started about 5 or 6 years ago. And in the other game, Kane Pollard, you were there out at Preston to see the broadcast match between the Northern Bull Ants and Port Melbourne. And in what, for many, was a bit of an upset, the Bull Ants got over the line by 43 points.
Oh, look, the Bull Ants were just really too strong, weren't they? Port Melbourne didn't come out to play at all. They left their A game at home, and it was just very disappointing if you're a Port Melbourne supporter because it was lacklustre. They didn't seem to have a plan B once the Frankston zone seemed to rolling zone defence really caused some problems there for the Borough. And I guess on a positive note for the Northern Bull Ants, their Northern Bull Ants players, not listed for Carlton, actually performed very well. Richard Hadley picked up the Anzac Day medal for his performance as best on the ground, but there was really contributors everywhere. The defence held up, and Port Melbourne really did look a disappointing effort, and you just hope that it's only a once-off and they can bounce back next week as they did many times in 2008. But there's some talk out there on the street, Chris, that maybe Port Melbourne got a little bit in front of themselves, and hopefully Gary Ayres can rectify that situation for the Borough this week or in the next couple of weeks for sure.
Well, on that point, you've seen them in the last 2 weeks. What do you think of the Borough?
Well, they were pretty disappointing in the second half against the Scorpions and really allowed Casey back into the game. So Casey got back to within 4 points there and had opportunity to win. A brilliant kick by Bonadio from the pocket really sealed it for Port Melbourne, and then they just didn't come to play at all, mate, yesterday. So it's pretty disappointing. I didn't get to see them round one, so I can't really give you a full rundown on the squad because they were so impressive. They really destroyed the Roosters, who were underprepared and undermanned. But without Nahas, they lacked that forward pressure. The ball seemed to come to ground and allowed the Northern Bull Ants to really load up and provide run off that half back line. They weren't prepared. They gave their opponents plenty of space going forward or back. They didn't read the play well. We had probably a 6-goal breeze favouring the City End at Cramer Street yesterday, and at times their defence were caught behind when the ball was falling short, or the defenders would go to the front when the ball was going over their heads. It was a really disappointing performance. Two players that played well for Port Melbourne yesterday was young Jared Dalton. He was under a lot of pressure in that defensive half, and also Corey McGrath. But McGrath picked up the ball at will and didn't do anything with it because they didn't have anyone at centre half forward. They went in with Bonadio, Adrian DeLuca, Fanning, and also McLaren. So they had four big men. Was going to pressure Hampson and a young player in Ben Power, who we'll talk about the 23rd player during the preview this afternoon, Chris. But, you know, they were pretty undermanned in the big men department, Northern Bull Ants, but they weren't exposed at all. None of them fired, so it was a pretty disappointing day for all those players. They had to rotate McLaren and Fanning in the ruck, and then DeLuca probably would have had about 5 or 6 possessions for the whole game inside that forward 50. So for big men, they didn't use the ball well going inside forward 50. Toby Pinwell and David Robbins, I don't know if they're 100% fit because they spent a lot of time inside the forward 50 area, and they're not the most elusive players, are they, Toby Pinwell and David Robbins? You wouldn't really think of them to run onto the loose ball and kick a few goals. And Jonathan Mullins was once again very disappointing, yet to fire at Port Melbourne, probably looking to replace Robin Nahas, but they just really lacked that pressure about Nahas inside forward 50, because as he's proven at AFL level, just his ability to lay tackles and put pressure on his opponents is one of his outstanding points, and something that was so big at Port Melbourne, wasn't it, Robin Nahas's pressure, and probably went a little bit unwarranted now when you look at it, because when the ball falls at the feet of Bonadio and DeLuca, the Northern Bulldogs players just simply used the ball better outside of their defence and had players looking to move, where when Port Melbourne tried to get their run through Brewer and McGrath, which their most prominent two players, you would say, in terms of possession week in and week out, they just had the zone defence counteracting their prominence with disposal by foot.
Now, on Nahas, he played last night and had a good game for Richmond. The game was played on his terms. He was able to get inside forward 50, hunt opponents down, and really make advantage of his pace and try and get the goal when he could. But Sarnas, I believe, was for a long time mooted as being almost a direct replacement for him at
Port Melbourne. Sarnas didn't play yesterday.
Didn't play yesterday? No.
Didn't play, no.
Didn't play the week before?
He did play.
Yeah.
He wears number 26.
Number 26, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you instantly relate him to Nahas. I guess Darren could really talk about how Bassanis played last week. He's not really in the same mould as Nahas. He doesn't seem to be as deadly around goals, but definitely able to provide some pressure in terms of his ability to be a run-with player or someone like that, that's for sure.
No, it's certainly something they need from him. I mean, it's a step below the class of Nahas, but I mean, it was an issue that Gary Ayres actually touted at every change last week, that their forward pressure was allowing Casey too much rebound. I guess the seeds, I feel, were planted for yesterday's loss after half time last week, as you mentioned as well, in terms of that.
Dermot Brereton always raised that topic, doesn't it? Teams often play the way they finish off a game, and they really did allow the Casey Scorpions in that second half, just through pressure provided by the Casey Scorpions. Their relentless pressure was pretty outstanding last weekend in that second half against the Borough.
That's right, and it was only really, I mean, Casey probably lacked the potency, the scoring potency, to put enough pressure on them to win the game, whereas the Northern Bullants didn't have any problem with that yesterday. But just Port Melbourne really only lifted for 5 or 10 minutes when they had to against the Scorps, and you can't sort of play in those sort of drips and bursts against quality sides. Casey were a little bit down on confidence. They could quite easily have won that game anyway. So yeah, just somewhat of a lazy start to the season. I mean, forward line pressure is something that everybody can do. I mean, it's not, there's no excuse saying, oh, there's big blokes and things like this. I mean, everybody can lay tackles in the forward line. I mean, it's a key to success, really. You can't allow clean rebounding. I mean, you saw the difference it made to Richmond last night and the difference it made to Casey last week. So certainly something they need to work on at the moment, Port Melbourne.
I guess one team that has definitely started the season 2009 in a good way is Box Hill Hawks. Impressive performance round two, and then obviously winning again down there yesterday against Coburg. Two strong performances against pretty good opposition. We'll talk about Box Hill in a moment, because
we've got Phil Pearce down at ground level, and he's got an interview for us. Phil Pearce.
Thanks very much, Chris. We've got one of the assistant coaches down here. Unfortunately, Shannon Grant's too busy getting his players busy for a real serious game of football, but with me is one of the assistants in Mick Fogarty. Mick, welcome to KC Radio 97.7 FM.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for that.
And also, it's going to be a pretty tough day. It's almost blown like a hurricane, like the old days of the Wizard of Oz on television. But also, you're not going to go in as many tools as you would expect. What are you expecting from the Frankston side today?
Hopefully, as you said, with the conditions, we just hope that we get our structure right and make sure that we have got sufficient players down forward that can do the job for us. Whether that requires tools or not going with the wind, we'll assess as the game goes. But it's just going to be a real tough game, ball on the ground type thing, hard body. So we're looking for our guys to make sure they've got their heads down and bums up and, attack the footy pretty hard. So.
And you mentioned to me just off the air that you were a former Casey player a few years ago and you've been with Frankston for 3 years. How are you enjoying it down here?
Yeah, it's a great club. Look, stand alone. The guys are close. You know, we battle hard as we can in regards to finance and stuff and sponsorship, but yeah, we're a proud club and the club's been around a hell of a lot of years, and yeah, it's a great atmosphere here.
And obviously it's going to be a pretty tough day at the office, because there's no doubt there's going to be a lot of game won at ground level, rather marking a lot in the air as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, that's right. We just got to make sure we've got first hands on the footy and we use it and don't try to make sure that the wind doesn't dictate the game, which is something we've got to control. It's in our hands, we've got to control it, and yeah, we've just got to make sure we get first use of the footy.
And also, you know, that this is probably going to be a small men's game today, as far as better than the little guys. Is that what you're predicting as far as you're concerned? And is it going to prevail in these conditions?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got the personnel to be able to carry that out. We're confident that we can do it. And as I said, just as the game goes, we'll see how it structures out now, our structure set up works out. So, but yeah, the small guys will have an input and a big impact in the game.
Now, a few players I want to mention, Marek Liani, Kennedy and also Burns, are you expecting them? They'll be heavily tagged by the Casey Scorpions players?
Yeah, well, Marek Liani's been heavily tagged the last couple of weeks, but he's still, what's been good about his play, still been able to, at the stoppages, put his body on the line and open a passage for other on ball. So, Kennedy, yeah, look, he's had a run with player with him as well, but PK can really find and cut the angles well and find the footy himself. So, and Burns, I'm not too sure about.
Now, I was going to ask you about Aaron Murray also. You want to see a few more goals in this. It's going to be a hard day to mark the ball for when the ball comes down a lot quicker, because it's going to be very hard to score down that bay end. Have you given him instructions to lead a lot more than what you've anticipated in recent times?
Yeah, we expect that when we do have the win that Casey will get their numbers back and make it hard for our forwards. We'll do the same thing. So we just hope that we can open it up a bit and allow Murray to get out there and lead well up the ground for us. And he'll be able to kick him from the, you know, well beyond the 50 if he gets his hands on it. So that's what we hope happens.
Well, Mick, thanks for joining us here on KC Radio 97.7 FM. It's going to be a pretty tough day sitting in the box with Shannon Grant. So we wish you all the very best of luck and good luck today and best of luck for the rest.
Cheers, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, good on you, Phil. Great interview there, Phil Pearce, with Frankston assistant Mick Fogarty. And what you can hear, very windy conditions here at Frankston Park this afternoon. Sides are in, and one thing we haven't yet mentioned in the broadcast is that this is the first week of the season in which VFL sides are able to select a 23rd player into matches. This week, round three, the 23rd player is an overage player from the under-18 competition. Each TAC Cup side is allowed a number cane of 19-year-old players on their list, and one player can appear for their VFL affiliate in round three. Later in the season, of course, rounds 8 to 12, it goes back to being 19-year-olds and 18-year-olds who aren't playing in the national championships, and then from rounds 13 to 20, we'll see 23-player sides with all 19-year-olds and all 18-year-olds eligible to play, regardless of national championship involvement. But looking at the sides this afternoon, Levi Casbolt of the Dandenong Stingrays has been selected for Frankston. And as I look down the Casey Scorpions list... Another Levi. We're like a good Levi, aren't we? Levi Greenwood, made his AFL debut last night.
Yes, one of my men. Now I've got another one, Levi Casbolt.
And for the Casey Scorpions, meantime, they have actually, judging by the lists we've been given, not selected one this afternoon.
Yes, they do.
Have they?
Yep.
Who are we looking at?
Patty.
Augustine Patty, yep. But he's actually on their full list.
No, see, this is one of the things that hasn't really been announced about it. Williamstown actually asked AFL Victoria for special permission for them to use any 19-year-olds recruited out of the TAC Cup competition as a top-up during this period of time. So yesterday we saw it introduced by the Northern Bull Ants and also Port Melbourne. Both those two young players were actually on their list in young Josh Scapone, who played for Port Melbourne, and Ben Power, who played for the Northern Bull Ants. Scapone had a really good second half, contributed quite well, has a good strong body, and Powers did a pretty good job as a backup ruckman, but obviously Sean Hampson did a lot of the duties yesterday. But when Power came on the ground, apart from looking like a young kid, he did battled hard against some of the bigger bodied opponents like McLaren and also Fanning.
Right, well, Augustine Paddy is yet another Dandenong Stingray. He's a fairly light built key position player in utility, so we'll look forward to him in his VFL senior debut this afternoon.
Well, talking about players coming to the TAC Cup competition, I guess if there are any Casey supporters or Melbourne supporters tuning into the broadcast, I did see Jack Watts roaming around there once again in the forward line, all going well here this afternoon. He's tipped to make his VFL debut next weekend against Coburg, so obviously tough conditions for the youngster down there in the forward line, but good to see him out there once again. Last week I missed him, so... under lights there at the Scorpions, kicked two goals at Casey Fields.
One goal.
I don't know how he's gone this afternoon so far yet. He's playing in the back line.
Yeah, it's a good way for him to pick up the game. He's dropped a kick behind the play, playing loose man in defence with Frankston kicking with the breeze. So it's a good way for him to pick up some kicks and read the play across there.
He's certainly feeling the conditions at the moment, blowing into his hands in front of us down there. It's a cold day at Frankston.
He should be used to the morning
just like junior footy.
Yeah, especially in the under-18s. They sometimes start at 10 o'clock.
They do. The old Jew kickers, eh?
Now, hopefully,
Sunday morning.
I started in the Jew kickers. Hopefully, Shannon Grant hasn't responded to some questions that Jim Hines asked of him during the pre-season and has bumped Casey Radio already before had a first chance to have a chat to him. I was waiting for it after Phil Pearce approached him, but before he even got there, it's a bit harsh. You probably saw him walking up and goes, you boys are from KC Radio and just walked back. Away, just closed it down. But if you have got any questions for Peter German or Chris or Darren or Jim, who's on the tech, and what's
or Shannon, if we can get him at the end of the game.
Around the ground scores, make sure you send us a text to the VFL talk line. It's 0424 438 415. We've already received one text this morning. Liz texted us again yesterday. We thank her for her ongoing support of the broadcast. And hello, Liz of Hallam. You should be down here enjoying the fantastic President's Lunch they've got going down here at Carr Street. But you're at home keeping warm. And we thank you for your kind thoughts once again.
Liz will be all rugged up at the moment, Kane, with her dolly scarf on, just listening in to her beloved boys this afternoon. The score update from the reserves at present, just two behinds kicked for the home side, who are going with the breeze in this last term. They trail, though, to Casey. Casey, 8-11-59. Frankston, 3-7-25. As I say, that wind has not abated despite the rain having eased off. It's still a 5-6 goal breeze heading towards the eastern end of the ground here. Darren, a lot to look forward to from Casey this afternoon. But for Frankston, there's a lot of beaten and battered bodies from last week's game against Sandringham.
Yeah, most definitely. They lose Clinton Proctor as a result of a late second or final quarter tackle.
Byron Barry too?
Yeah, is he out of the side? Yep. It was initially named on Thursday, so hasn't made the cut. But yeah, it's probably got the better of them, though. They were competitive for three quarters, and then basically, I guess, the physicality of the situation, the fact that they had a reduced interchange bench and some of the bigger bodies of the Sandringham players, as well as, I guess, Nick Sortner kicking six in the forward line, was enough for them to get home. But they're going to be required to do a lot more bang and crash today. There's going to be a lot of contests, a lot of ball-ups, a lot of boundary throw-ins, so they're going to need to... A
couple of secondary bounces even,
yes.
I'm sure, Chris.
Looking forward to that one.
Definitely definitely secondary bounce Sunday. But yeah, they went down 8-6-54 to 13-6-84. They were in front at quarter time, 4 points down at half time, 7 points down at three quarter time, before Sandringham took control with four last quarter goals to Nick Sortner. They lost their round one clash by 15 points after being four goals down at quarter time. They worked hard after the first change but weren't able to reel that one in. Went down 16-8-104 to 18-11-119, and they've lost their last three against the Casey Scorpions. The two battles last year, the Scorps in round two at Casey Fields won 16-14-110, Frankston 9-18-72, and then in round 18, third last round of the season, Frankston hosting Casey went down by six goals. The Scorpions 16-10-106, Frankston 10-10-70. They also won their 2007 Battle of Scorps by 10 points. Frankston's last victory came on this ground in 2006 by 81 points. But they seem to have the bigger bodies in the midfield, but they're going to be tested, I guess, coming off a physical bruising contest against a young Casey side, but they're going to be called on again to win the hard ball today, that's for sure.
More recently, though, Darren, you were with myself 4 weeks ago when we saw these two sides play in what was a fairly well-contested practice match down at Casey Fields. Frankston got up that day by 3 points of both sides, playing close to full strength sides.
Yeah, but how much of that result do you actually take away from it, boys? I've seen some very interesting reports on that game.
Go on.
Oh, just that Frankston used their selection policy in the third, or late in the third and the fourth quarter, a bit like a jigsaw, had players playing out of position and then all different types of positions. They really use it as a training drill run in that last bit of the play that obviously the Casey Scorpions come into the game and reduce the margin.
Yeah,
so
it's a fair call.
Took good advantage of their skills that day, Frankston. Paul Kennedy was given a lot of time on the bench. He's all our man, isn't he?
I don't know, you're a big raps on PK.
I know what you're referring to.
I'm not referring to anything, mate.
Just referring to a pre-season prediction I made. I think you're referring to there, aren't you?
Well, yeah, you've tipped him for the listing, so...
Well, who did you tip?
Oh, I haven't been asked a question.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So I don't have anyone in mind just yet, but there's been a couple of players that stand out of late, definitely.
We'll get those splinters out of you this afternoon for Chris's Kane Pollard. Phil Pearce, you're back from the interview.
Look, I just can't get any of the Casey Scorpions coaches. They're too busy up in the box there where the scoreboard is, but apparently... Anthony Brown's just given me a mention. Either give him a call during the week and see if we can try our best to get one of them and do our best.
Oh, okay. So he wants to be called through the week, do they?
Oh, yes. That's what he told me, Kane.
All right. Well, that's
a bit disappointing.
It is a little bit disappointing, considering Casey would have been considered our home place of residence for Casey Radio 97.7 FM. But look, they have their own choices there. Could have maybe stuck the microphone in one of the players standing there on the on the fence, Phil, and got their thoughts on the game.
Oh, exactly, without a doubt. But I'll tell you what, it is like an absolute hurricane out there, guys. I reckon these are the worst conditions I've ever witnessed. And I spoke to you about this hurricane way back in 1995 down here. And I tell you what, it was bucketing like cats and dogs.
Well, we're about to cut if Chris there, as he's just getting prepared for the broadcast ahead. We're about 5 minutes away from crossing back to the studio. What I'm going to do, Phil, we're going to set you a task.
Yep.
If they won't provide a coach, which is understandable,
yep,
ask him if they'll provide an injured player to be interviewed before the game,
oh,
just
okay,
on his thoughts of
yep,
their preparation here this afternoon. Obviously,
well, see if I can get one of the Casey reserves players and
yeah,
tell them what it's
see
like.
See if you can
out,
get the coup and grab Jack for us.
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure how long they've got to go. There's probably
hang on, I've got an idea for you, Phil.
Yep.
At the end of this game here,
yep,
we want you to interview Jack Watts as he's walking off the ground.
Okay.
All right.
Yep, fair enough.
Asking how he's pulled up.
What number is he?
Number 60.
Right here in front,
right
of
in front of us. He's playing on
okay,
Dale Whelan there.
Oh, yep.
So
all right, we'll have a word with him, and I'll do my try my absolute best to have a chat with him and tell him what the conditions are like out there.
Yeah, we'll have a chat.
All right, well, I'll go down now.
Okay, all right. Well, as Jack Watts just picks up the football with a bit of pace there off the half-back line and kicks it into some space if anyone is waiting to see how he's going out there. We don't know if he's kicked any goals, but the Scorpions are doing pretty well.
Good
Darren,
to see young James Taylor back on the ground. He got a very nasty knock about 10 minutes ago. Went off the ground with a blood draw, so good to see him back out there. He looked a bit groggy, so all clear on that front, it seems.
A victim of the round one loss against Sandringham, James Taylor, having played every game last season. He was then dropped after that performance and hasn't reappeared in the seniors.
He's been around the mark today with a few touches, so as I said, it's good that he hasn't felt...
He doesn't do enough for me on the rebound, James Taylor. You can negate your opponents very well, but in this modern day football, you really need to be able to get onto the ground and pick up your own positions and create some of your own plays, which unfortunately James Taylor can at times lack to do. Before we get into the Casey Scorpions and Frankston game, a bit of a preview on some of the players, Chris, I want to just talk about Box Hill.
Yep.
Haven't they been one of the surprise packets so far after a disappointing 2008 and 2007? The last 2 years, they've actually started with losses to about round five. To think they've won two games in a row. They picked up Brendan Bolton in the pre-season, which is probably a bigger recruit than any of the names they picked up. But Uze and Sam Isles coming through the ranks there for Box Hill Hawks. It's great to see for the competition.
Well, it is, and I think more to the point, it's what they've got out of their existing VFL-listed players as much as anything else. They've had little help from Hawthorn in recent weeks, with the Hawthorn side at AFL level having been so severely struck down by injury problems. But two players that have really emerged for them during the first fortnight of the season, Kane, have been Cameron Pedersen, a ruckman forward who, undersized in a ruck contest, nonetheless went forward against the Bull Ants last week and kicked five goals. And Ben Smithick, a small forward, has also been chipping in with those twos and threes.
Well, they won their first game. They had the bye in round one. In round two, they defeated the Northern Bull Ants, who were very impressive against Port Melbourne yesterday, 79-111. The Box Hill Hawks of the Bull Ants, 14-11-95. And you went through the results earlier from yesterday, which, at home, they've had two games, two wins there. So next week they'll be playing against the Werribee Tigers, which will be a good test to see exactly where they're at.
Particularly as I think it was last year that Box Hill got their first victory of the season over Werribee, and what was a real upset at that stage. Werribee were in real trouble. They went down to Tasmania, you might remember, the following week, and after a poor first half there, they pulled their finger out, put James Podzialy to centre-half back and played the sort of football which got their confidence back and led on to a finals appearance. For Box Hill, meantime, they've been a side we've noticed in recent seasons that when things have not gone their way...
Oh, a big collision here in the reserves. The umpire has gone down. He's crashed into Darren's man, James Taylor. So when he's not attacking the players, he's attacking the umpires, and both are in a pretty bad way at the moment.
Taylor's up, but the umpire is not up at
the umpire's
stage,
holding his head. Taylor's going to be reported, I think. No one's sure what's happened here. It's off the play in the reserves. Taylor's got a bit of a bloody nose there, a bit of claret coming out of his face, and the umpire's going to go off as well. So both the umpire and the player not in good way here at all.
They've decided that this was Taylor's fault. We didn't see the incident. I mean, it's not always the case that it's the player's fault, but a free kick has been paid. So interesting to see what happens during the week, if it's left at that or if there's more to it.
Brendan Bolton's been a big recruit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, back to Box Hill. Two things have happened there. Firstly, they've got more out of those VFL-listed players. The second thing, Kane, and I wonder how much of this is related back to Brendan Bolton, is they don't fade away when things aren't going their way in games as much.
Well, I think they took a bit of a risk, didn't they, with when you lose some of the players that they did in the pre-season. Obviously, their big recruits on the year before, Digby Morrell and also Al Neville, who's gone overseas. They're coming to other players I lost there, you could add as well. Cameron Hunter and Batsanis went to Box Hill, but the two big ones they recruited in the 2008 pre-season. Morrell looked like the game went past him at times last year, was very slow, and Al Neville, he really didn't have that same commitment that we saw. I think getting so close to an AFL selection really did hit the psyche of Alison Neville just a little bit in the later part of that season, when it really comes down to that, where you've got to push yourself to get through, when your team's only won 5 games for the season, that ability to get yourself up every week can be a bit harder, and I'm sure a trip overseas, if he comes back to the VFL, will be very refreshed.
Yeah, not easy for Al Neville, who on 3 separate occasions was touted as going to be an AFL pick. Firstly in the under-18s when he was with the Oakley Chargers, then twice at VFL level, and on all 3 occasions he was just pipped at the post for a spot on an AFL East. He was also last season playing in a fairly unfamiliar position for him, playing off half-back for a period, and it wasn't something he dealt with particularly well. Now we'll go to the Trevor Barker Beach Oval in just a second, and we'll try and get hold of Jack Richter for his preview of Sandringham versus North Ballarat. Just briefly though, before we do, Kane, Brendan Bolton, 3 years ago, he came in very tough conditions to become Tasmania coach when Matthew Armstrong was resigned, or maybe sacked mid-season. And at the age of just 27, he took charge of the side there. Couldn't get them up and playing good footy, but he's taking full advantage of his second stint as a VFL coach.
And look, very big raps on Brendan Bolton. Very educated man. Was a star footballer, actually, in Tasmania before injury brought him back down to earth. So interviewed him on the footy show. Seems like you know what's going on. And I guess it just strengthens the alignment between the Box Hill Hawks, Hawthorn and Tasmania again. But Bolton, good to see him getting the results this year, and big improvement on the Box Hill Hawks. It's been great. They've played against two teams that are going to be considered playing in the finals. It's not like they've gone out and beaten maybe Casey or Bendigo, some of the teams you'd probably, you know, respect on the other end of the scale. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they're going towards the end of the season, if they can maintain this really good form.
Okay, so we're going to Jack Richter, are we? We'll go to Jack Richter, who's previewing the Sandringham Zebras versus the North Ballarat Roosters. That game taking place at what will no doubt be a very windy and wet Trevor Barker Beach Oval this afternoon. You're on KC Radio, 97.7 FM.